Let's all welcome Bill. The children are staying up today in Big Church, and Bill and his wife Andrea are deacon overseers of our kids church ministry. They make sure the children are cared for early each week, and last Sunday we had the fifth Sunday in which the young people were ministering upstairs and ministering here. We believe very strongly in these young people growing up to be champions for the Lord. Bill's doing a great job raising a Christian family. Amen. He's got beautiful children. And you can see Mean up here worshiping God with everything you have. And I'm sure Matthew will be joining his sister real soon, as long as he can dance around. So let's just open up our hearts to the preaching of the word.
Amen. I just want to start by declaring that I love the Lord. Amen. You might want to sing along with me. I really love the Lord. He really heard my cry. You don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. The Lord God is good. He is great. And he is greatly to be praised. Our pastor called me on yesterday, as he is wont to do, and say that the Lord is with me. And I believe that. I believe that the Lord is with me. And I know, even last week, as the children ministered, I would not have been able to stand here for any number of minutes because of the pain that I was going through. And today I stand here, and I haven't taken pain medication in over 48 hours. And I know that I will be able to, in God's strength, in God's power, be able to stand here and to minister and to worship with you and to hear the word of God. I just want to encourage anyone who is here going through anything, God is with you. God is with you. He will keep you, and he is able to comfort and heal and deliver. And you have to do that by faith and not by sight. By faith and not by sight. I feel today that the words that the Lord has put on my heart, we have heard them all during this service. Nearly everything the Lord God has placed on my heart, we have heard at some point in this service. And God has a way of doing that. When you're walking with God, when you're fellowshipping with God, God has a way of working all things together for good, for those that love him, those that are called according to his purpose. So I pray now, Lord God, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God, my strength and my redeemer. The church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to turn to 1 John, those of you who have your Bibles with you. It'll be the Word of God in book or tablet or device. Let us turn to 1 John when you have it. I want you to say amen.
Amen.
So 1 John, the first chapter. I have plenty of time, so I will read starting at the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen. Amen.
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
I want to talk a little while about the light. The light of God. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And, you know, when God put this on my heart, I didn't even realize the daylight savings time was approaching. But we do things in the time zone to make sure that we're able to see when we are up and about our business of life and doing the things that we are called to and responsible for throughout the day. But even in looking at light, we realize that we don't see with our eyes everything. When we refer to light, really from a technical physical standpoint, we're really only talking about a certain band of wavelengths. We don't really see all that is operating. A lot of technology has brought to our awareness that there are waves and there is parts of the light spectrum that we don't even see. We know that God is a spirit, and much of God's manifestation are things that we cannot see with the physical eye. We are unable to see them as we are able to see each other, or as we are able to see buildings and structures like the one that we are building in God's kingdom. We are unable to see them. And so it is really by faith. And Hebrews 11, the first verse, tells us that Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. One of the words that I brought when I first moved into ministry is that we really can see God. By faith, we are able to see God. And I want to lift the thought for you. Light is within us. Light, once we believe, coming to God in faith, light is within us. And I want to lift a few verses from John 14. You don't have to turn if you have it. You might. But it says, starting in John 14, the 18th verse, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me. Because I live, you live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. We can see God. In John 16, the 7th verse beginning, it says, But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Amen. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, left so that God does not walk with us in the person. He lives within us in the Spirit. The light is within us. Amen. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He spoke to the woman there in that verse, encouraging her in the 4th chapter of John to not be concerned with where the Jews should worship or where the Samaritans should worship. But from this point on, God would manifest himself in spirit, and it isn't a place on earth which we go to worship him. God in the Spirit would live within, dwell within everyone who believes on him. God is Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The light is within us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The verse before that one says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The second point that I really want to make today is that God and light is truth. It is truth. Now, he could have said here in the verse, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not walk in the light. He could have put it that way, God, in the Word. But He said, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Word of God and the light that dwells within is truth. Of all the things that we could describe light as, being opposed to darkness, light revealing, light giving us a path, direction, allowing us to avoid this thing or that thing, to avoid stumbling and falling. The one thing that I want to lift about the light this morning is that it is truth. The Word of God is truth. Even the Word says to us that the beginning of all knowledge is the Word of God. The beginning of wisdom is the Word of God. And as our pastor laid out for us during the table, all of the problems that you see the world having, so often you find that mankind, even those that declare themselves Christians, don't begin problem solving with the light or the Word of God. We attempt to go from day to day dealing with circumstances and the problems that exist, the relationships among people, not beginning with the Word of God, not beginning with the light that is within. We find ourselves unnecessarily troubled in this world because we don't approach it as God does. To walk in the light, I suggest to you, means to see things as God sees them.
Amen.
Not as man sees them. If we take man's perspective, I guarantee you that is a path to destruction. To see things as God sees them, that is a path to life everlasting. And if we really want to be serious about being reconcilers, being ambassadors for the Lord, we have to seek and manifest the light that is within. Stop really looking to the world and to politicians and to media, to pundits, for answers. I want to declare to you that we are not going to change the world. The world is enmity against God. The world chooses devices and decisions that don't desire God. It's why they want to put prayer out of schools. It is for a host of reasons that the world does not want to include God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. They're choosing not, the world is, to desire God. But we, if we walk in the light, if we're seeing things the way God sees it, we are choosing God. We're desiring God. We're seeing things the way God sees them instead of the way that the world sees them. The light is truth. You know, I heard the testimony today, and I heard the word that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The prayers of the righteous, they that believe, availeth much. It lets you know that we as believers, we have favor with God. That when we pray, God inclines his ear toward us. We heard the testimony of our sister Valerie and how prayer availeth much. And this week I had a talk with a friend of mine who said that I don't believe that. I believe that God hears everyone who prays. I said that the word of God declares that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. How can you say that? Well, the thought was to really take man's view. And I want you to know that walking with God and walking in the light and having God dwell within is not taking man's perspective. Man wants to believe that if he cries out simply, that God would hear, that God will have favor, that God will extend his blessings and assurance and peace and comfort. And I want you to know that they that call upon the Lord must do it in faith, believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You can't just cry out because you're in trouble and have the Lord God hear your prayer. You have to believe the Lord God for who he is and what he has done, and that he does in fact love you. You can't walk your walk day to day, not have fellowship or relationship with the Lord God, and expect him to show up like Santa Claus. To celebrate your every day as if it is your birthday. To give you gifts because you exist. If I were to wait an entire year and give my wife a gift on our anniversary and forget about her every other day of the year, I imagine she might look at me and say, "What is this?" And I just believe that the Lord God has favor on those who do love Him, who do desire Him, who do seek after Him, who want the Lord God in their heart, that hide the word of God in their heart that they might not sin against Him. There is something about having a relationship with God, being a lover of God and His Spirit and His way, rather than just intellectually understanding that God exists. He does put a measure of faith in all of His creation. He really does. Else the Word and His commandments and the law would make no difference. But those that continue to lay aside God's Word instead of every weight that does so easily beset us, lay aside God's Word, the Word of God says that they are given a reprobate mind. Eventually, they are unable to hear the Word of God. Eventually, they are unable to see and behold the Lord God and His Spirit. But we who believe and have seen and beheld and know the Lord God ourselves, have fellowship and walk in the light, we can see God. Amen. We can experience His love. We can experience His healing. We can experience His deliverance. We know the Lord God for ourselves. And we know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. We know that the Lord God heals us. The light is truth. I had to let this friend of mine know that the experience that we have as human beings, it does teach us a few things. We do come by wisdom through our experience. We do come by knowledge through our experience. But it is no reason to discount the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is to us light and counsel and direction. It is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Light is, in fact, a prescription for our walk. A prescription for our walk. What does our path look like in darkness? What does our path look like in darkness? And if we flip a page or two and look at 1 John, the second chapter, starting at verse 8, the word reads as thus. It says, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. If you say you are in the light and hate your brother, you are in darkness." Frequently, folks will ask the question, how do you know if I am saved? How do you know that I'm not walking in the light? How do you know? You don't have any authority. And I say that you know them, you know the tree, by the fruit that it bears. So I am not the creator. I didn't make the world or any of its inhabitants. But I like a good piece of fruit. I can tell whether or not you are a banana, orange, apple. Sweet to the taste. Prune even. I have become, in the Spirit of God, an inspector of fruit. And I can tell you of the many, many millions of people who declare themselves Christians, I know that there really is a small portion of them that really love the Lord God. A small portion of them that actually have heard the declaration in the Word, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Are we going to approach the world as the world approaches it, or are we going to see things as God sees them?
Amen.
Are we going to hate our brother, subject our brother, not show our brother justice? Or are we going to love and care for and be a light upon a hill which cannot be hidden? Are we going to be reconcilers and show others the faith that God has put in us? Show others our good works so that they might glorify the Lord God we serve. If we hate our brother, we're walking in darkness. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what I say. The Word of God says that. If you can't find it within yourself to extend forgiveness or compassion, love, respect, justice, all those things that God has asked of us, then you may consider the fact that you might be walking in darkness and not in His marvelous light. That is what darkness looks like. Verse 5 of our original text, 1 John, the first chapter, says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." You know, in our home group this past week, we talked a little bit about evil spirits occupying. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space. That's what we came to.
Amen.
And if you fill yourself with the light, then it moves out all of the darkness that is within you.
Good word.
As you increasingly surrender, as we sang, you are opening the doors to God's Spirit to dwell within and to push out all of the darkness, all of the places that are within you that the enemy wants to be in. If you don't, if you find deliverance and don't fill that space with the light of God, the enemy will come charging back. Sevenfold, I believe it says in the passage. The enemy will come back strong. And it is for this reason, if none other, that you have to decide who you will serve. The Word of God says that He'd rather have us hot or cold rather than lukewarm. There's no need for you to say that you're a Christian or walking in the light or fellowshipping one with another if you're unwilling to allow the light of God to permeate, to seek out and find every space within you, to cleanse you, to forgive you, yes, but to cleanse you, to make you so that when He comes for His church, see Him face to face, we will be like Him. We will be like the Lord our God. We will be like Him. But that requires surrender. And that requires giving your life over to Him. And not taking the enemy's approach or the world's approach to solving your issues and solving your problems and dealing with the issues of life. Dealing with the people that you will come across in life. I took it very seriously when I read the Word of God, and it says that He encouraged them to wipe off their sandals and move on. Amen. You are not going to save everybody by throwing the law of God at them. You're not going to bring people to the Word and the Lord our God and have them see the light by showing them judgment and the nastiness and the way of the world. You are going to find people and you are going to be fishers of men by extending the love of God. It doesn't mean to set aside the fact that we are all sinners. Amen. This verse here tells us that if we say that we are not sinners, we lie. We do not tell the truth. So we must have faith and truth. It is necessary to point out the way of God and that it is opposed to the way of the world. But there is no way for us to show what is the ultimate judgment without also showing the good news.
Amen.
How are we to bring folks to a loving God if we let them only know that there is penalty? Let them know that there is judgment. Let them know that there is penalty, but also let them know that they are loved. Also let them know that the Lord God cares. That the Lord God wants to touch. that he wants to embrace, that he wants to have fellowship, that he wants to care, that he cares for us. I tell you, weekly, I run to our Wednesday fellowship. Yours might be on Thursday or some other day of the week or what have you, but when we come together to fellowship, it says here, we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But that fellowship is not only about fellowshipping with your brother or your sister. Frankly, it's about fellowshipping with God also.
Amen.
I can get excited about seeing each of you. I really can. Honest and true. But there is nothing like seeing the Lord God in his presence, where two or more are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst. He manifests himself in a special way.
Amen.
There is something about having the Lord God fellowshipping with you.
Amen.
Open the door and he will come in and he will sup. He will have a meal with you. He will talk with you and tell you that he loves you and cares for you, is concerned for you. And then you'll be able to see when he opens doors for you and he does things for you that no one else could do. And you will know for yourself what it means when they say, he will fix it. God can fix it. God can fix it for you. He doesn't just look on the preacher or the pastor, the deacon or the minister or the elder. He looks on each one of us. He has a word for each one of us. And he has light that dwells within each one of us. I don't have any handouts to speak of God's justification or sanctification, but as we go back to the basics, our eldership and leadership here, the church has talked about us going back to the basics. We have it right here in the verses that we have read today. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is what we all need. Forgiveness. And that is what justifies us with God. It's just as if I hadn't sinned. He covers the sin. Like Passover, when he is coming to reap those that have done unrighteousness and evil and pronounce judgment, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And the spirit of judgment passes right over. Just as if you had not done anything, but the Word of God says you have. I know that I have sinned against God. I know it. For me to sit in service and call myself worshiping and not understand that the Lord God could have judged me,
that's right,
and been right about it. That is enough to praise Him all of my days. You wonder why I cry. It's because I know. I know the Lord God for myself. I have not intellectualized that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son. So I am justified, but I am also being sanctified. Each and every day, He is changing me. So when I sing that song, it's also real to me. I am not the person that I once was. I don't decide the things that I once did. I don't do the things that I once did. He's cleansing me.
Amen.
He's taking all the spaces in my life and cleansing him as the light permeates itself. And I receive him by faith, believing in righteousness. God is changing me. And as you do it, brother and sister, as you do it, as you decide, as you choose this day whom you serve, as you surrender, as you give your life over to him, he will change you too. He's not changing the world, how it operates, daylight savings time, that's man's decision. He is providing for all of us a light that lives within us. That we can go forth day to day, fellowshipping one with another, and loving, not hating our brother.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. We read the Word of God and we find who we are. The Word of God declares for us who we are. And we ought not to live without understanding just how precious, how wonderful, with how much purpose we have in the world. We are a light. And I have just a couple more minutes, and I want us to turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses, and then I am going to take my seat. I'm going to begin at the first verse in chapter 2, 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, do all those things. If in fact you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Some folks really haven't tasted that the Lord is good, that he is gracious, that he is sweet. coming as unto a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The word God is talking about you. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone,
Amen.
Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Church, say amen.
Say amen.